Turn in your Bibles today to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20, read two verses. I'm going to talk quite a bit about what goes on here, but verse number 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and them and with them all others besides the Amorites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse number 15, God speaking. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is not yours, but God's. Lord, we're so thankful today, God, for your mercy, for your loving kindness, God. We ask you, Lord, to be with us tonight, God, as we go to your word, as we study your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, if we'd understand, God, that the battle's not ours, God, it belongs to you. Lord, you desire it, O God, to give us victory every time, O God. We ask you, Lord, to be with us today. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I like the Word of God. It's the greatest thing that we have at our disposal in the day in which we live. When you look at the things that are happening in the world today, I'm so glad I know God. I'm so glad I got the Word of God to help me in my Christian walk. We will always have battles to fight. We will always have battles to fight. There isn't any one of us that is going to go along in life today that's going to say that I'm not going to have any battle. But I want to let you know that the battle you face as a Christian is not your battle. It's God's. And God so desires to show himself strong in behalf of those that love him. He desires to be with us and to help us and to guide us and to give us the victory. We find, before we go into the story, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses number 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is not a physical battle that we fight. That's why the battle's the Lord's. I decided to test out my strength, I would not look to Brother Mike to go up against. I'm sorry, I just don't think that I have the strength. He's a little bit bigger. He's a lot younger. And so I asked, if I'm going to go and fight somebody, I'm going to pick on somebody that's small. Because then I might be able to win the fight. Well, we're fighting a fight in this life that we live as a Christian. It's not a physical battle. But God gives us armor so that we can win the battle. And the armor that God gives to us is not something that we put on. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. My battle that I fight every day of my life is against principalities and against powers. What did he say? He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'll guarantee you that you will not win that battle on your own. You do not have the ability to go up against the devil on your own and think that, you know what, I'm going to win. Yet, and if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times in our Christian walk, we try to fight our battles ourselves. We think, well, you know what? I got myself into this situation. I'm going to get myself out of it. And all along, But God. The battle's not ours, but God's. And so if we'd only understand that in our Christian walk, that God's standing there, give it to me, saint. Give it to me, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of that problem you're going through. That financial situation you got yourself into, hand it over to me and I'll take care of it for you. But no, we try to do it ourselves. We try to say, well, you know, I can do it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse number 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. You know what those things are? You go back and read from 6 to 10. You'll find out what those things are. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We talked about that little word last on Sunday morning. That little word, if. If you will do this, God says, then I'll do this. If you will do this, then I'll do this. But it's all contingent on whether we do what God asks of us. But see, Paul says we got to flee some things. Then we got to apply some things to our Christian walk. What's some things? Righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. And if we do that, then we fight the good fight of faith. And we can lay hold of that eternal reward that God has given to us. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to that day when the clouds of glory break and the Son of Man returns and he says, time shall be no more. I'm looking forward to that day that I can say, God, I've done my best. I might not be perfect, and we're, none of us are going to ever be perfect, but God just desires us to do our best. And if I do my best, if I follow after God and the things of God, I can hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of heaven. Paul said in 2 Timothy, he just added a little bit to that, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. We'll start at 6. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew his time was up. Paul knew that it was over for him. But he gives us hope. That's God. God's whole desire is to give us hope in the day in which we live. So that we've got something that we can hold on to. Says, you know what? It does look bleak out there. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to be a rosy time in the next few years. But there is hope. For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The reward for fighting the good fight of faith. See, we've got to remember, the battle's not yours. It's God's. You got to remember that the armor that you're going to put on is not yours. That's why David, when he came to Israel as they were battling the Philistines, and he stands there and looks out over that valley and he sees that giant. And that giant cries out with this loud voice, give me a man. Give me somebody to fight. If I win, you become our servants. If you win, then we'll become your servants. And David's looking all around. Why are you guys hiding behind the rocks? What's going on here? Who's going to go and fight him? David understood. He wasn't going to fight no big giant. He was going to be the vessel that God used to fight the giant. And he realized that any man that was standing behind the rocks could have went out and fought the giant and won the battle if they understood who they were. I'm a child of the King. I got royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm just not a nobody. I'm a son of God. And my daddy doesn't like that guy out there because he's defiling his name. And so whoever goes out to fight that giant is going to win if they take God with them. That's why David, big brother, come on, let's go. Oh, David, you get going back to your sheep. Those few sheep that you're looking after out there, you go back there and let us, we're the men of valor. We're the men that are going to go out here and fight. Well, you look like you're hiding behind rocks right now. You're not fighting no battle. The enemy's calling out. Aren't you going to go and do something about it? How many times in our Christian walk do we get into the same situation? We come up against a battle. We come up against a fight. We come up against a situation in life. And we just don't know where to turn. Because we're going to try to do it on our own. Instead of turning it over to God. Instead of saying, God, we got a situation here. We all face it, folks. There isn't any one of us in here that could say we don't face it. We're going through things. We're facing trials. We're facing situations in life. And we're trying to figure out how we can fight the battle ourselves. Instead of God that's standing there right there beside us. Okay, son, are you ready to go fight the battle? He's pretty big. They say he's a 6'9" or so, probably 400 or 500 pounds. He's a big dude. I'm David, and I'm only, you know, he was a teenager, maybe a little older, we don't know for sure. But he wasn't a little guy. And we can know he's not a little guy because when Saul stepped out on the field and he said, what do you mean you want to go and fight the giant? Well, nobody else is going to go fight him. I'll fight him. Well, here's my armor. Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. And yet David put on his armor. So David wasn't a small man. But here he was. Put it on. Felt awkward. Didn't feel right. He said, no, I can't take this. Here's your helmet. Here's your breastplate. Here's all the armor that you gave me. You can have it back. I don't need man's armor. I need God's armor. I'm going out there to fight a battle. And my God's going to go right alongside me. And David, when he decided to take off, Saul's blessing, and he looked out there, and he thought, big guy, it's time. And he didn't just creep along. It said he took off running. And he stopped at the creek. And he picked up 5 stones. And he put one in the sling. And he took off running. I don't know. Can you imagine here? You're close to 10 feet tall, 400 or 500 pounds, and you see this young man running towards you with a slingshot type thing. He probably thought, this is going to be too easy. What do you think they're doing? Why didn't they send me a man to fight? He didn't realize there was a God running right alongside David. And when David got to that place, and he began to swing the sling, that rock went out, And it went dead center into the guy's forehead. And he dropped to the ground. Why? Because God was with him. He didn't try to fight the battle himself. David would have never won the battle if he'd gone out there with Saul's armor. Because, see, the battle is God's, not mine. The armor is God's, not mine. The fight is not mine, it's God's. The victory is not mine, it's God's. Sometimes we think that we won the victory. No, God went with us and won the victory for us. We go back to this story in 2 Chronicles. There's some things here that we need to understand, that if we are going to win the battle against the enemy, and every last one of us is going to have fights, we're going to have trials, but we need to learn what we need to do if we are going to be victorious. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them all others besides the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle." So they're all coming up. They said, "You know what? We're going to fight you." Verse 2 said, "And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazar-Tamara, which is in Gildai." Great multitude. We're talking about the king. He's got an army at his disposal. He's got the ability to put up a fight. But he realized that the battle that was coming his way that day was not something that he was going to win. And verse 3 says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea." All Judah, sorry. The first thing we need to understand when we are going to go to battle against our enemy, we got to go to the one that can give us the victory. We need to turn to the one that can give us victory. And that's God. Simple. God. What does the Bible say? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're the child of the King. We could read all kinds of scriptures that tell us about God and who God is. But Jehoshaphat realized that if I'm going to win this battle that we're going to enter into, I better seek the Lord. And so he decided that we're going to call a fast, and we're going to see what's going to happen. In verse number 4, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the city of Judah they came to seek the Lord." Like-minded people. I said, "You know what? There is an enemy coming against us. That's a great multitude." And when they looked at the situation, they realized they needed help. Just like we do in our Christian walk. There's times we need help. Verse number 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. The next thing we find Jehoshaphat doing is going to the house of God to seek God for help. Instead of trying to do it himself. In verses 5 through 13, you find Jehoshaphat pleading his case before God. But you know what? Many times we find ourselves in a battle or a fight, and then we try to fight the battle ourselves. We say in ourselves, well, I got myself into this situation. I'll get myself out of this situation. We know the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. We know the Bible says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We know the Bible says, seek and ye shall find. But Lord, you just don't understand. It's my battle. It's my situation. I'm going to try to do it myself. And all along, God's saying, no, I want to help you go through your trial. I want to help you go through the problems you're facing. Just put your trust in me, because I can give you the victory you're looking for. We get so concerned over our trials and our problems and situations in life that we forget that God is still in control of everything that's happening around us. He knows the beginning and the end. We hear so much about the coronavirus, the pandemic that's facing the world today. I'll tell you right now, God's not concerned. God's not looking down and saying, you know, oh no, we got a problem. Oh no. It's shutting our churches down. What are we going to do? No, God knows what's going to happen. And somehow, if we could just get a glimpse of what it is like when we put our battles in God's hands, when we put the situations of life that we face and hand them over to God and say, God, I've got this problem. What are we going to do? See, we try. We might even find time to come down to the church and all by ourselves and come and kneel at the altar, kneel at the pews. God, I don't know what to do. God's standing up there looking down and says, well, I know what you need to do. Well, God, this situation in life, yeah, I know what you're going through. I see it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here they are. Out there on that field that day, that plain, looking up at that great big statue. Along comes the king. I heard something, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I didn't see it with my own eyes, so I've come to give you another chance. I made a decree, and the decree was that if, when you hear the music, that you'll bow down and worship that idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, no, we know the decree. We know what you're saying that we have to do. But we're going to tell you right now, we're not going to. Because see, we got our God on our side. And our God says that we do not bow down to any other image. And so let it be known to you right now, King, we will not bow down. He got furious. He told the men that looked after the fire, he says, you heated up 7 times hotter than normal. I don't know how hot it was. I do know that the men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the top of the furnace to throw them in died. They died. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down inside. And after a while, the king, he got a little curious. And he went up and looked down in. He got looking in. I can imagine. I got a great imagination. I can see them down there. Did we not put 3, right? 3. Yep. Not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yep. That's all. Yep. There's a 4th one in the fire. And he looks like the Son of God. He looks like God himself. The difference in what happened there was that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego put their trust in God. They didn't try to do it themselves. They didn't say, you know what? I can win the battle. I can fight the fight and I'll win. They realized that there was only one hope. Because they even made the statement before they went. It doesn't matter what happens, King. God's going to take us out of your hands. Whether we die in the fiery furnace or whether we live through the fiery furnace, we're still going to serve God. We're still going to put our trust in God. We're not going to rely on the things of this world. We're not going to rely on the abilities that we have. Because see, my God knows the beginning to the end. And when we learn in our Christian walk to put our troubles to God and leave them with God, it'll come out a lot better. There's lots of examples in the Word of God. Lots of examples in the Word of God. Look at David. Look at Daniel. Look at all these men that when they put their trust in God, God came through for them. God desires to show himself strong in behalf of those that love him. What happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 17. God, in talking to Israel and Jehoshaphat, says this, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. He said, Jehoshaphat, you and the people, you're not going to have to fight. You can stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitation of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. The enemy came to destroy Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat. But God, when we allow God to take control of the situation, God had them fight against one another and destroyed all of them. Can you imagine if instead of trying to fight our battles ourselves, if we would just turn them over to God and say, God, I've got a situation. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn, God. Other than to know that, God, if I turn to you, if I give it to you, God, you'll see me through to victory. Ye shall not need to fight, but stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord for you. Fear not, be not dismayed, for the Lord will be with you. See, we serve an awesome God. My Bible in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us. God commendeth his love towards us. Mark 2:12-7 and Luke 5:21. But God alone, he's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that can guarantee victory. He's the only one that can go ahead of us and fight the battle for us. Luke 5:21, but God only. But God alone and God only. We serve an awesome God. Said in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but God trieth our hearts. We are allowed by God to be put in trust of the gospel. That's what it's saying in that verse. He trusts us to share the gospel message to the world. He trusts us to preach the word of God, to tell people that there is hope. The world looks at it and says, well, there's not much hope left. All you have to do is look at what's going on, and people are fearful, scared, don't know where to turn, don't know what to do. We know what to do. We know where to turn. We've got a God on our side. 1 Corinthians 10:13, but God is faithful. If you want to know who's faithful to you, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with it make a way of escape. We can put our trust in God because he'll never let you down. In Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, God's mercy makes salvation possible. God desires to render our hearts, us to render our hearts and not our garments and turn towards him. God wants us to do that. In Luke 16:15, Sister Wilson comes, but God knoweth your hearts. You can't hide anything from God. You can't hide anything from God. God knows everything. Because God knows what's in us. Yes, we are in a battle. Yes, there are discouraging times and situations that you're going to face. Yes, it's hard sometimes to just put it in God's hand. But God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you every step of the way. You can put your trust in me. I'll be there for you. Are we willing? Are you willing to let God take care of the fight? The choice is yours. But we'll let you know, if you do, you can be like David. When David looked at the giant, he didn't see the giant. He seen an obstacle that was against God and realized it had to come down. And he had a God that walked with him that he knew when he went out to fight the giant that God would take care of the battle. Just like God told Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours, it's God, but God's. And that's so true today. The battle that you fight is not yours, it's God's. Learn to put your trust in God.